Accession number 31439, Mr. Tom Latham, Real 6. Now, what was it? So, in the Curie Hospital, what was it? What was it like in there?
It was absolutely brilliant. It was all British run, and you've got your trip, you've got your meals. And I was put on physiotherapy for exercises and things like that to build you up. You know, so you're getting a bit stoppy and round the belly. And that was about all you could say. You know.
And that was August.
That was August. Yeah, a couple of yes. That was still in August.
And then you went to...
They sent us to a training camp, which was barracks. And we done mainly for morning, marching and running and just PT things, just physical things to build you up. That's all it was. You'd allowed to go out every night, providing you signed out and signed in, you know, when you went in and out. And you could go around the town, and the Curie was quite a nice place.
In what way? What was good about it?
Entertainment, plenty of bars and the rest of it. And a place called Curie House, the food was very, very good there. And reasonable, cheap, like, you know. After that spell in there, I then...
That was into September then?
It could have just about gone into September, yes. Quite into September, because... we was now put into interviews to be transferred to what they call JRBD, which is a transit camp for people arriving and people leaving. Right? And my mate went in and he come out and he said, I've got an extra week. So I thought, God, you know. So I goes in and I was three officers sitting there and they said, well, you know, we can send you to JRBD. So I said, well, my friend's just got an extra week here. I said, can I have it? I said, because we're catching the Empire Royal was now in dock. The regiment, you know, we were due to go on that, and it was a fortnight. So I said, can I have another week here? And they looked around and said, well, why not? You see, so I had another week there, then we got transferred, and we spent a week in JRBD, which was barracks. You know, you had to ball yourself up and all the rest of it. We did that out of a night time, there's no restrictions there, but the last night we was there, during the daytime, my mate came and he said, have you read Part 1 Orders pinned up? So I said, no, don't really. He said, I'd go and have a look at it if I was you. So I goes over there, and it's got Lance Corporal Latham, guard duty, for the last night I was there. Oh, I don't believe it. So I go to see the sergeant sitting in the audio room. I said, if I can get a replacement, is that all right? I said, yeah, of course it is. I told him I was going home on the Orwell. So I shot him in the barrack when I shouted out, any Lance Jack want to do a guard? No, any Lance Jack? And I went in, and there's three Lance Jacks in there. And I said, any Lance Jack want to do a guard for 10 shillings? And they all put their hands up. I said, well, you sort it out. And they sorted it out, and one came with me, went back, reported to the sergeant, then I got the night off, my last night in Curie, like, you know.
So, tell me about that. So, the next thing, you rejoined the unit then on the Orwell?
Yes, we got on the Orwell.
Because they were going to Hong Kong, weren't they?
Yes. And we pulled into Pusan to pick up the regiment. But we were National Service, we had to be demobbed, so we stopped on it. Those that were going to be demobbed in November, which we were, because this is now the end of September, and it took a month to get home. We got on the boat, and Corporal Critcher is the one that got the military medal. He was in the Suffolk, so he was going to go back and join his old regiment. Right? So he was still on the boat. When we got on the boat, the RSM come up. We were standing there, and the RSM come up and said to Corporal Critcher, would you like to be orderly sergeant, in a sort of a way is that you're going to be an orderly sergeant? So he said yes, and he said to me, what about you? Now, it's only Lance Jack, you see. So I said, well, all right, so, but what you did then, I got made up to, initially, a corporal. It didn't mean much. So we were both orderly sergeants. My mate, Alan Leslie, became a runner, and another chap called Sibley became a runner. And we had the time of our life on that boat. It was a luxury cruise. We slept on... mattresses in the RSM's office, because we was on call all the time.
Right. It's the RSM of the Norfolk, so the RSM of the boat.
Of the boat.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, of the boat. It was a fixed crew. And the reason why we was up there, because, an example, you get bad weather, the phone would ring, and they'd say, shut the portholes on starboard bow and deck 1, 2, 3 and 4, so we both had to jump up, go down, and shut all the portholes on that side and whatever. That's where we was on call all the time. Having orderly sergeant on your arm, you went straight up the queue in the messroom, in the canteen, you went just because they had a canteen corporal used to stand there, stop people pushing in. And we used to walk straight up and he'd stop the queue and we'd go up and get our food. And so it was, and we had it for 4 weeks. It was unbelievable. 4 weeks we had that.
Anything happened on the journey?
No. It was just a straightforward run. You got on entertainment, but no, the food was good. It was just, nothing happened on the trip at all.
Any after effects of your wound?
No, none whatsoever.
So what happened when you got back? That would be, October?
Very end of October. Because we were due for Dimob on the 3rd of November, I believe it was. So this could have been actual in November. Because we then went to Norwich, got off a train, went to Norwich.
To the barracks? The Britannia barracks.
Yep. And our first officer that got wounded on the ambush in the Samachon, Tom Keane, he was there, greeted us. And we went to the barracks, and apparently we weren't very welcome with the locals because we created havoc in Norwich, apparently.
Did you?
Well, there was a few pub punch-ups and the rest of it. Well, it didn't involve me, no, but I heard about them. But apparently, because in the morning, I was still laying in bed, a few of us were, and someone came in and said, "You're all in the drill hall. You know, better go there." So we just put our denims on, shot in the drill hall, and the lieutenant colonel's standing there, and he's running and raving. "You've called embarrassment to the regiment, shouting that they sent you out comforts of gloves and scarves, and that's the way you've got to repay them." But actually, who started all of them, I don't know. But I think we caused a bit of a chaos, like when the regiment come back. And then the mob came, and I got put in.
What was the sort of demob procedure? What do you remember of that?
Oh, you just got your papers that told you where you were going. You had smallpox, you had good medical to pass you as fit. And I was put into the...
And you were fit, didn't you?
Without a doubt. They put us in I was in the London Rifle Brigade. And
That was going to be territorial?
That was a territorial, which you'd done for 3 years.
I'll come back to that.
Yes.
And what else did you want? Did you get a suit or anything like that?
No.
And what was your demob date? Was it the 3rd of November?
3rd of November. But no, it could have been about... It could have been about the 6th when we finally got out. I know we were a few days late. But it was due for the 3rd, I believe it was.
Now, what are you going to do when you come out then? So, you know, you come out, you've been away for that time. What did you decide to do about what you were going to do, you know, for the rest of your life, basically?
Well, briefly was, I'd served in the foundry, which I could have got exempt, right? Now, I lazed around. Me and this Alan Easley, we didn't do nothing till after Christmas. It was because I'd been sending money home to my mum, and she saved it all up, so I managed to buy a suit, rig myself all out. And I went back to the foundry, and apparently they had to take you back if they were still in business. So they took me back in the foundry, and I was there for 11 months. No, not even that. About 9 months. I went back in January, and in September they shut down. I got made redundant.
And were you enjoying it? Did you manage to settle that back down to civilian life, or did you have trouble?
No problem. No, well, yes, it was. Right, it was. It could have been about what should we say? I'm not quite sure. April, May, more April. I was ill, very, very ill.
What with?
I didn't know. And it occurred every other day. I'd shaking, sweating in bed. I was ill. And my mum at the time had my brother lived in the house. He was married. And so my sister-in-law used to come up and see me shaking in the bed. I was just shouting, "Mum, go ahead. I don't want to be in an exhibition." The next day, it's right as rain. And this went on for about a week. It was unbelievable. So I took myself to hospital. And they took blood tests. Right? I've come home from the hospital. And waiting there is a telegram telling me to go back, I have malaria. And I was in hospital for 2 weeks, been treated with malaria. And that lasted the first year, because that was bad, that first year. And the second year, after it got over, I went back to work. I could have been off about 4 weeks in total, I suppose. I went back to work. And then the same period of time, about April next year, So that would have been, I come out in 52, so that could have now been 53, when I had the second batch, and they transferred me to the London Hospital of Tropical Diseases. and I was under them. It occurred, it lasted 3 years. I was under them and I got discharged, and it's been alright. It's just that I'm not allowed to give blood, transfusions, like, you know, blood donor.
So what happened next then?
Well, when I got made redundant in September, I went up to, there's a place called Kelsier's that belonged to Ford Motor Company that used to make the wheels for the cars. And I went up to the labour exchange and I said, there's a job going there. And in them days, you got a card. And I went to see the personnel manager and he says, our rate of pay is 4 shillings an hour. And I thought, my God, it's nothing to what I was earning. You know, so I thought, no, I said, I don't want that. I said, fair enough. Now, that was on a Wednesday morning. On Thursday, I met my mate Alan, because he still hadn't got a job. And we went over with Dagenham Racetrack, went over on the dogs, so I had 15 shillings and I lost it. So on the Thursday, I goes back to Labour Exchange, and I said to the chap, can I have a card for Kelsey? He said, you was here? I said, well, so he gave me one. And I went back and see the personnel manager. So he said, why you come back? I said, well, like crawling then. I didn't realise that the hours I was putting in the foundry, I had to work all the hours going to turn me money, but yours is a flat rate of, it's all right. I said, start tomorrow, which would have been Friday. I said, I can't. Made an excuse. I didn't want to start on a Friday because you pay tax under that for one day. So I said, no, I can't. He said, right, start Monday. And I started on the Monday. It was sometime in February. It's sometime in September, I mean. And I was there for 34 and a half years.
And that was making?
Making wheels. Making wheels for four cars.
So it's car component.
Car component, yeah.
And you settled down all right.
Yes.
That was it.
Yes.
Now, what about the your TA commitment? What did that involve?
Well, that involved that you had to do, I think it was three nights in a year. Every 4 months, you had to go to the TA centre, which was at a place of Beckton, near Beckton Gasworks in East London, to a drill centre, and you'd done drill. And it was annoying, really, because there was people there that weren't in the infantry, and they were asking them to strip down a Bren gun, and they hadn't got a clue. So I said, right, do it. And the bloke said, look, sit down, let these have a go. So I was, you know, and it was useless. But you had to go. Right? Then you'd done your fortnight camp, and we'd done a camp on Salisbury Plains.
And what do you think of that?
Oh, it's rubbish. You know, after doing 2 years national service, where you'd done all your training, it was just all repeat stuff. You knew it all, you know. The second year was the year I got married, and I asked if I could go on the advance party, because the wedding date, the wife picked it, was in the middle of the camp, and they let me go on an advance, set the camp up ready for the regiment. And the third one was when I was married, but just the same, they were utter bore.
So there's no chance of you staying in the TA?
No way.
Now tell me about you are a keen member of the associations. Now, which ones are you in? You're in the Korean War Veterans Association.
BKVA.
BKVA, yeah. British Korean Veterans Association. Yes. Tell me about that.
This started not all that long ago. It could have been started about maybe 12 years ago, 13 years ago. My ex-son-in-law, his parents live at Brandon in Suffolk. And there was a cutting there for a BKVA reunion at a place called Wellingborough. So I phoned up my mate at Morden, this Alan Edgley, and I said, we'd like to go. He said, yeah, we go. So we took our two wives and we went there. And it was all the Norfolk, it was a complete army, all BKVA, and it was very, very good. So I come back and I wrote a letter to the Norfolk Museum asking about various things, and they put me onto the TA Centre in Allisham Road, of all the letters, and they sent me a new sheet that was ready to go out, and there was names on there. Winky Fit was on there, Corporal Willie Wilmot, he was a sergeant now, because since he got to Hong Kong, he got made out of a sergeant. They was all there, and I started getting in touch with them, didn't I? And I was surprised that, you know, that was about, I'd say, about 12 years ago.
So were you a member of the Royal Norfolk's Association as well?
Yes, I joined that as well, and we meet last Saturday this month. We meet every, that's all arranged. So it's not a lot goes on there, but we meet the crowds, they travel, they come from Devizes in Wiltshire, one comes from Yeovil, Sherborne in Yeovil, come from Clacton, another comes from Ipswich, Morden, and it's about 10 of us meet up there. And it's 7 o'clock, half past 6 for 7 o'clock, so you have drinks to start with, then you sit down for your dinner at 7 o'clock, you have your dinner, which is good, and then it's speeches concerning the regiment now. You know, not a lot goes on about Korea, because it's, I did mention a few bits, and after that it's a few talks and we leave, like, you know, it's just a get together.
Now, you've done a special thing with your platoon and your company, haven't you, sort of off your own bat. Tell me about that.
Well, when it all started getting together, I visited everyone. I've got photographs of every couple, and I started organising get together, as well as what's named, at Warner's Adults Only Lakeside on Hayling Island.
And what? Who is it? Is this your platoon, or is
no,
it your company?
D Company.
Just D Company.
Just D Company, yeah. That's all it involved, was just D Company. And we went there, I think it was 3 times we went there, I organised that, and it went off all right. You know, people done this.
How many would turn up? How many veterans?
There was about 8 with their wives, you know. And then that lasted for 3 years, and then I can't tell you why it stopped, it was personal. Right?
But you've gathered all these photos together, haven't you?
Well, that was a dream, that was, because what happened, if I met a person, which I did, and we got talking, I said, have you got any photographs? And they said, well, yes. And a couple sometimes were a bit reluctant, because they're pride and joy. But they just send them, and they're always a little, something like 4x2 sepia in them days they were. And I copied every one, had them enlarged, and sent them all back with enlargement. I've got lovely letters thanking me. And that's how I think I've got about 160. And it's all different types, and just...
What do you feel about your national service generally? I mean, was it good for you, bad for you?
Good, it's got to be good, yes.
In what way? What was good about it? And the crew, you know.
Meeting. I mean, so there's a crowd of us now, you know, meeting people. But also, I think it gives you something to do. It's a bit fit. You know, right, let's put it this way. It's better when you've left it. There were hard times, you know. There were a lot of hard times. But... you know, in the cold in Korea, that cold was unbelievable.
Have you ever been back to Korea?
No.
Have you thought of it? Because the Korean War veterans do go, the Korean
yes,
veterans.
Yes. Thought about it, yes. Going, no. Because the only thing I would like to do was to go back to Hill 355. But that's in the demarcation line. So just to go back, no. We get well treated when we go to see the Koreans at all. They got a restaurant, and I got invited to go with my mate Reg Griggs, and it's a Korean restaurant up London, and apparently you get invited, and we both got invited, and they look after. They can't thank you enough. You
know. How do you feel about the Korean War? Do you think it was worthwhile? Do you think, were you glad to be?
I think it had to stop. It had to stop the spread of communism, which it did. You know, because I mean, say at the moment now, the North Koreans under communism are still suffering with. South Korea is prosperous as ever.
So you think your part, it was all worthwhile for you?
I'd say yes. Didn't know nothing about it at the time. You know, you was in the army, you just got sent there. But now you look back at it, I'd say yes, 110%, definitely.
Thank you very much.